about your love drives a man insane. You broke my will, but what a thrill. Goodness gracious, great balls of fire. I let you love what I thought it was funny. You came along and wooed me, honey. I've changed my mind, this love is fine. It's just great balls of fire. Kisses the baby. Mmm, feels good. Hold me, baby. Well, I want to love you like I love a shoe. You're fine, so kind. Got to tell this world that you're mine, 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 mine.
Oh, yeah, a little bit of Jerry Lee Lewis for you there. Remember him? He's still alive. Yes, he is. He was a contemporary of Elvis. Back in the early 50s, 1954, Sun Records, he was running around. Same time Elvis Presley was trying to make a buck at the very start of the rock and roll era. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, along with my buddy and partner, Big Ed Davis. Thank you very much for being with us. It is Friday, July the 16th. We are in the middle of summer now. We are definitely there. We're going to be talking in a few minutes with Chris Edwards of the Cato Institute, and we're going to talk about his congressional testimony this week on corporate deregulation and open markets. He went before a joint committee of Congress to talk about it. So stay tuned for that. And now the White House is stepping into the internet censorship business. Are you not surprised? It is flagging content on Facebook. This is the government flagging content on Facebook. Are we living in the United States or are we living in, say, Cuba or China? We're going to get some thoughts about this and other things from the proprietor of the barber pole himself, Master Barber Andrew Ceresi. A little later in the show, and we are dusting off our little duck, Wilbur, in another edition of Campus Quackery. We will head to Davidson College in North Carolina, so stay tuned for that a little bit later. And in our ultimate top 10, if you listened to our last show, we had the top 10 states with the rudest drivers, the rudest. Well, now we're going to give you the top 10 states with the nicest drivers. The nicest drivers, so stay tuned for that. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in Dunedin, in the Overcash Plaza, that is just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Great haircut, great price, open Tuesdays through Saturdays. Call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. And a shout out to Paul and Tracy Allen. Good morning, Clearwater. Don't you just love them? Let them start your day, 8 to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday here on the Tantalk Radio Network. All right, well, new Gallup poll has come out, and not surprisingly at all, it says that Americans have a consistent lack of trust in the media, with more than three-quarters of the public not saying they had much confidence in newspapers or TV when it comes to news. Only 21% of respondents said they had a great deal or quite a lot of confidence in newspapers. 21%. While 16% reported the same of TV news. Those are lousy. I mean, we're talking about 80% of the country basically saying they don't trust the media. 80%? You know what fared worse? Congress. 12% of people like Congress. 88% of them dislike and distrust Congress. I should say distrust, right? It's trust. By the way, we got some others that they either trust or don't trust. Here, we got the last 3 years of Gallup polling on the trust. Public schools. You know what the trust rate is? Well, in 2020, it was 41%. It dropped 9% schools, I think because of this pandemic and the way that the unions and the teachers, right? 9% down. The medical system, in 2020, 51% trust in the medical system. Now, with all the government involvement and everything, that's been going down. It's now 44%. That's 7% drop. Church and organized religion. Listen to this. Trust in the church or organized religion. Last year, 42%. This year, 37%. That's not good. Banking. Banks. Last year, 38%. This year, 33% trust. The Supreme Court. Last year, 40%. Now we got, what, three more conservative justices? It's dropped. It's now 36% trust. Let's see here. Military does fairly well. Last year, 72% trust. This year, 69% trust. Technology companies, 32%, now 29%. Organized labor was 31% trust, now 28%. We talked about the newspapers. It's down to 21% trust. TV news down to 16%. The presidency dropped 1% from last year. Does that mean that the public does not like Biden as much as Trump? I don't know. But there you go. That's kind of interesting, isn't it? The other thing, speaking about the U.S. and trust in the media, did you know the U.S. has the lowest level of public trust in the media among 46 countries? According to Reuters, the United States ranks last among countries when it comes to public trust in the media. Now, that's interesting. You know who has the highest level of trust in their media? It's Finland. Finland has a 65% trust in their media. That's kind of crazy, isn't it? But that's the way it goes. Speaking about the media, the Biden administration has been flagging content on Facebook to remove what they would consider to be misstatements about the coronavirus. The Surgeon General is flagging these posts. The Office of Surgeon General has upped its tracking of what's called disinformation related to the pandemic on social media platforms. Here's what they say. We're flagging problematic posts for Facebook that spread disinformation. We're working with doctors and medical experts who are popular with their audience with accurate information. So we're helping get trusted content out there. Well, I don't think the government should be involved in flagging comments on Facebook and Twitter, whether those comments are right or wrong. Now, we already know that the people that run Facebook and Twitter are censoring, right, and flagging. Do we want the government also flagging? That sounds to me like China.
Wonder what that guy's getting paid.
Yeah. Which one?
The
flagger?
The government dudes that are flagging us.
I know. What are they getting paid?
They just sit on Facebook all day. What are they getting paid?
They're probably getting paid more than us. How's that sound?
Oh, I get it.
You know, the government money that they get.
Absolutely.
You know, by speaking about getting paid a lot, you know who gets paid a lot? If I can find her salary here. Randy Weingarten, you know who she is?
Sounds familiar.
Randy Weingarten is the head of the American Federation of Teachers.
Oh, yeah.
You know how much she makes a year?
How much?
$560,000.
Yeah, she's important.
That's nine times what the average teacher that she represents makes. It must be nice to be the head of a union. Mm-hmm. You make a lot of money.
Yeah.
Of course, a lot of them ended up in cement blocks.
Those are the ones that didn't want to go back to work, isn't it?
Didn't they put Jimmy Hoffa under the New York Giants goalpost or something like
that? Stadium.
Do you remember that stupid story?
Yeah.
Anyway, let us take our break. And what we're going to do when we come back, I can't wait to talk with Chris Edwards. Chris Edwards testified before a joint committee, a joint economic committee, on corporate power and shared prosperity and ways to get things done better, talking about deregulation and competitiveness. So we'll be back. We'll talk with Chris right after this.
On the cloud side, I'm drinking the night. Any place it goes is right. Goes far, flies near. Many stars away from here. Well, you don't know what we can find. Why don't you come with me, little girl, on a magic carpet ride?
This This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Go yard is a metaphor used in baseball, meaning to hit a home run. Life struggles can make you feel like you just struck out. It's times like these that we need a little batting practice to pick ourselves back up and get back in the game. Whether you are dealing with marital issues, drug addiction, rebellious teens, anxiety, depression, or just generally having a bad day, call Mama Mac. If life has you down 0-2, before you strike out, learn to go yard. Go yard with Mama Mac on this radio station, Thursdays, 6 o'clock.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on FreedomWorks and delighted to have Chris Edwards join us. Chris is Director of Tax Policy Studies at the Cato Institute, and he's also the editor of DownsizingGovernment.org. Chris, welcome back to FreedomWorks, and I want to let people know that you testified before a joint economic committee this week, I believe, on corporate power and shared prosperity. I know you wanted to talk to them about how we could make corporations, businesses more competitive. Tell us a little bit about that testimony, would you?
Well, you know, there's a lot of concern in Washington by lots of members of both parties about the power of giant corporations today, especially big tech companies and the like. And, you know, there's a big movement to increase the power of antitrust enforcement, which is essentially kind of central planning, top-down regulations to break up companies and restrict companies and this sort of thing. And, you know, I pointed out two things. One, the history of antitrust enforcement over the last century has frankly been hit or miss. The government has made a lot of big mistakes. So, for example, they went after IBM computer in the 1970s for being a monopoly, and they prosecuted an antitrust case against them for 13 years. But then, you know what happened? Apple Computer was founded and completely, you know, disrupted the computer industry. 15 years ago, the federal government went after Blockbuster Video for trying to merge with Hollywood Video. But that ended up being a joke because, of course, Netflix was rising behind the scenes and would knock out both Blockbuster and Hollywood Video. So using antitrust is really not a good approach. Much better, as I said in my testimony, is to support large flows of investment capital going to startup businesses that can challenge these big corporations. I mean, one good example, you know, is Spotify is the number one leading streaming service in America and the world. It knocked out Apple from the top spot. It used to be, you go back a decade, Apple was a big streaming company, but this startup called Spotify came along and knocked them right out. So that's what we should focus on, is getting investment capital and encouraging startups to challenge the big corporations.
Yeah, I've always, and of course, Cato's a great libertarian organization, I've always questioned the government deciding who is being anti-competitive and who is not. And you talked about IBM.
Is the big corporation cutting prices, is that a pro-competitive thing or is it kind of an anti-competitive thing? And antitrust theory, it's kind of ambiguous, you know. And so, you know, Amazon has it's a giant corporation, of course, and I understand people have some issues with it, but it's pushed down retail prices to the enormous benefit of consumers for a couple decades now. And, you know, I think we all benefit from that.
Oh, of course.
We should make sure markets are open so that companies can come in and challenge. But, you know, I think that the way to do that is deregulation.
Exactly. Exactly. Rather than having the government decide who's doing something wrong or not doing something. First of all, we got a court system. And if a company is cheating somebody, we have the courts to deal with it. That's the way the government was set up. But to go in there and decide, you know, who's going to be a winner, you know, first of all, there will be payoffs galore when it comes to antitrust, you know, to do things like that. And the companies that are already in business do not want the competition, perhaps, because more competition means that they would have to lower prices, be more competitive, et cetera. And yet the consumer is always the one, if you allow the competition, it's the consumer that wins. When are we going to not learn? When are we going to learn that?
One thing I reminded the members of is that during the 1970s and 80s, deregulation to increase competition was a bipartisan. There's a bipartisan consensus on that. Even people like Ted Kennedy supported the deregulation. So we deregulated airlines in the 70s.
Right.
We got a lot of new airlines in, like JetBlue, that are cutting prices. We deregulated the package industry so that FedEx could revolutionize the package industry. We deregulated telecommunications. AT&T used to have a government-protected monopoly. We deregulated so that startups like NCI could come in and challenge them. And one that people often overlook is that, you know, we used to have a beer oligopoly in this country, if you go back to 1980 or so. But federal and state deregulation opened up the beer industry to craft brewers, and now we've got hundreds of craft brewers making better beer that have challenged the beer oligopoly. So, you know, deregulation is, you know, we open things up for startups, and this is to the great benefit of consumers.
Do you think they were listening to you, really, when you were talking? I mean, I'm sure the Republicans were nodding their heads. The Democrats, well, I mean, is it going in one ear and out the other? What?
With a closely divided Congress, you really only got to sway a few members with some good, sound economic arguments, and hopefully that'll be enough to put some blocks in the railroad tracks to bigger government here. So that's, I think, the challenge for us who believe in smaller government and sound economics is we've got to convince those marginal members of Congress.
Chris, what do you think, though? We're becoming overwhelmed with big government. I mean, we're losing the battle, are we not? Look at the trillions of dollars that we're spending for all of the... Didn't we just start a program for kids? A check mailing program right now, today,
yeah,
or
we
something?
We just expanded the child tax credit, I think, about another $1,600. So, it's just... people never think about the cost. All these programs... Yes, of course, if you transfer tens, hundreds of billions of dollars from taxpayers to some moderate income people, you will help the moderate income people. But there's always a cost to the economy. The more you tax people, the less entrepreneurship, the less business investment there's going to be, and there'll be less jobs for moderate income people and everyone else. So, people only think about the recipients of all this government expansion, and they never think about that there's a giant cost here as well.
We're talking with Chris Edwards. He is the Director of Tax Policy Studies at the Cato Institute. He also edits downsizinggovernment.org. I entreat you to go to that website and look at it. So, Chris, do you think people like Pelosi and Schumer and even Biden, do they really believe in all these big spending programs, or are they just buying votes? I just wonder. I think Biden, I don't know what Biden thinks anymore, but it used to be that he was a little bit more moderate. I think even Schumer and Pelosi have gone further left, which by that I mean willing to spend more and more and more money. Now we're at a point where we're beating back socialism, but we're losing the war.
I think that a lot of them, frankly, they don't understand economics, and they don't care about economics, and they don't care about the long-term health of the economy where they're building up all this debt. I mean, most members of Congress are lawyers. They really don't understand economic basics. I think that's, you know, one of the problems there. With the whole issue of the hearing this last week was about corporate concentration, to worry about big, powerful companies and monopolies. One of the ironies is that the government itself has numerous monopolies, as imposes numerous monopolies. A good example is the postal system. The government postal system has a legal monopoly over your mailbox and first-class mail. But we don't need to have that. I mean, other countries like Britain have opened up mail to competition. Another example is airports. U.S. airports are all owned by governments and they're monopolies. So both of the major airports in Washington, D.C., all three major airports in the New York City area, they're owned by the same government authority. It's a monopoly. That makes no sense at all. So I think of the government, politicians of both parties, they're worried about monopolies. They should look in their own backyard first.
I guess there are people, I don't know what will happen next November, but it sounds like people are kind of waking up to the fact that all of a sudden we are spending money that we not, I don't know that people are feeling the pinch yet. I mean, because are we not just printing money at this point? I mean, have we really raised taxes that much that people will say, oh my God, stop this, you know? I don't know.
No, well, as you know, for a couple decades now, the general move has been to eliminate people at the bottom and in the lower middle from taxation. So about 40% of U.S. households right now don't pay federal income tax. So they don't feel the pain of big government. And, you know, in a democracy, to some extent, there should be skin in the game across the board. If Americans want... If Americans want big government, darn it, they should feel the pain and cost of big government. We shouldn't be pushing all these costs onto the future, onto young people down the road, which is very unfair. I think you're right though that I think we've got inflation rising now. If these giant deficits are going to end badly some way, either there's going to be a financial crisis, we're going to have galloping inflation, interest rates are going to spike, mortgage interest rates are going to spike for homeowners. There will be negative consequences down the road, and maybe the sharp rise in inflation recently is the beginning of that.
What do you think, or did you talk at all about international competition during your testimony?
No, I did. Actually, this is one of the things that I think people overlook is that, globalization, it gets a bad rap from a lot of politicians these days. But actually, globalization helps control, the power that, big U.S. corporations have. In my testimony, I gave some examples. So we've got a few big grocery chains in this country, but one of the new entrants to the U.S. grocery business in recent years has been the German company Aldi. It's spreading across the United States, opening stores everywhere. It's even undercutting Walmart in grocery prices. So this is an example of how, our openness to global competition is creating this really intense competition to the great benefit, especially of moderate income consumers. If you've gone into Aldi, it's the most really Spartan kind of store. But my goodness, those prices are really rock bottom.
Yeah. I mean, it's great. What about China? Should we be very careful about all of that with China? I mean, with the competition in the trade, et cetera, involving China, everybody is always saying you have to be very wary of them.
No, I agree with a lot of concerns. I mean, China is really it's a different political and geopolitical and national defense situation than even 10 years ago, because the current leadership, is pushing the country, in a really bad anti-market and anti-democracy, direction, of course. So there are a lot of complex issues with China. I mean, partly the market is going to solve that problem by itself. A decade ago, big U.S. corporations were rushing into China and investing. But now corporations themselves are going to pull back from China because they realize that it's going to be harder to make profits there because the government's going to, steal your intellectual property and prevent you from making profits. So I think markets themselves will adjust to the new belligerence on the part of the Chinese government.
Indeed. Chris, it's always a pleasure to have you on. I really enjoy it, and I really was glad you had a chance to say your piece in front of that joint economic committee. Thank you so much for being with us.
We will see whether they listen. Thanks.
I know. All right. Chris Edwards, Cato Institute. All right, we're going to take our break. When we come back, the White House is stepping into the internet censorship business. Should they be doing that? It's flagging content on Facebook. We're going to get some thoughts about this and some other things with the proprietor of the barber pole himself, Master Barber Andrew Ceresi.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tantalk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports.
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on Freedom. By the way, we are here every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern on the Tantalk Radio Network. And we're also on podcast. Big Ed has got all our shows on podcast. Thank God. So you can go back, listen to them, or if you didn't catch our show live, just go to our website, OurFreedomWorks.com, OurFreedomWorks.com. Well, Ed, you love sports. Did you know that the NFL is going to reportedly have the Black National Anthem return before NFL games for good starting this coming season? It's called Lift Every Voice and Sing. And it was played before the start of week one during last season. I think that's just about the dumbest thing. About the dumbest thing that the NFL can do.
First of all,
because why don't we start playing the Hispanic song?
First of all, that is a report. It has not been confirmed.
Oh, okay.
And I don't believe it will be confirmed.
Really?
And plus, the Black National Anthem does not exist. There is a Black Anthem that was put together in the 70s, I think it was, whatever it was, and it's called the Black Anthem, and that's the name of the song that you just read. And the media has stuck national in the middle of it to create a division, once again, between black and white.
I agree with you.
Okay, that if you look it up,
It's a divisive thing to do.
It was called the Black Anthem up until about a year ago. Okay. Then it was called the Black National Anthem.
Ah. Well, I didn't know that it's not a foregone conclusion.
No, it is not. It's not even talked about.
This story is probably not written correctly.
I thoroughly believe this is some idiot on a cheap radio show trying to make points somewhere that's letting that out that he's got a close source.
Okay, well, I hope you're right about that.
I don't believe that's going to happen. I'm sorry.
And the other thing, before we get to Andrew, the Master Barber, Black Lives Matter is praising Cuba's government for the way they're handling the demonstrators down there in Havana and on the island. Can you believe that? Black Lives Matter. By the way, they previously had glorified Castro.
Well, in praising...
This is crazy.
In praising the government for handling the protesters means that they don't agree with the protesters and what they're doing because they are not following the Black Lives Matter handbook. Okay, first off, where are the cars being turned over and burned? Where are the people beaten in the streets? Where's the looting? And Black Lives Matter always teaches you riots never happen during the day. Always at night. And these people are going against the grid, so they didn't want anything to do with them.
Black Lives Matter currently faces mounting backlash after releasing a statement late Wednesday that blamed the Cuban people's suffering on the U.S. trade embargo with Cuba, and it praised the regime. Said the people of Cuba are being punished by the U.S. government because the country has maintained its commitment to sovereignty and self-determination. Really? The country has maintained its commitment to sovereignty and self-determination? Oh, my God.
If you talk to the people in the street, it's not about that.
No. But it's about freedom.
Sure it is. It is about freedom.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Andrew, I'm sorry. We just had to talk about a couple of things there. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm living the dream, Paul.
Yeah, that's wonderful. What is that drug you take? I'd like you to send some to me.
I'd like some of that, too. Huh?
So I wanted to talk to you a little bit. There's so many things that are going on right now. But the government is stepping into the internet censorship business. We've talked before about these platforms and censoring Donald Trump, but they were being done by the platforms themselves. Now the White House is flagging content on Facebook if they deem it incorrect when it comes to the virus. This is starting to sound more and more like Cuba, we were just talking about, or even China with Big Brother.
Well, that's very simple. You know, we'll put an end to this thing real quick. Biden says Cubans have a right to communicate, but they can censor us, right?
There you go.
Very simple.
It's hypocritical, isn't it?
They have a right to communicate.
It's hypocritical.
You know, Paul, not for nothing. What do you think about the 74,000 votes that were the mail-in ballots in Arizona that were never documented being sent out but were voted?
Yeah, picking up a little bit. Are they getting close to determining about those votes?
Well, Paul, they had a Senate. They presented it to the Senate yesterday.
Okay.
74,000 mail-in ballots that have no record of being sent out were mailed in for Biden. 18,000 added to the voter rolls after the election, but the ballots were cast in the election. 4,000 voted despite registering after the deadline. Security logs were erased, were breached by unauthorized access, was granted. What more do we need to see, Paul?
Mm-hmm. Now, where are you picking up this info?
This was all on the news.
On which news? Which particular?
This was on OAN.
OAN, okay. I haven't seen that information, so I can't really...
You need to get up on it, Paul.
Yeah, I wish I could get that network. Spectrum doesn't have it. I'd watch. Believe me, I would watch.
What do you think about that George Floyd mural getting hit by lightning, huh?
Yeah, tell us about that one, too. That was rather interesting.
Yeah, well, they had that big mural of George Floyd on the side of the building, and it got hit by lightning.
Oh, my God.
Destroyed the whole thing.
Do you think that the Lord is...
Yeah,
sending
Paul,
us a message?
You know how I think, Paul. You know how I think.
I do. Well, I don't know always how you think, but I do understand what you're talking about here.
Look at California. They're going to mask up again, even if you got shot.
Yes, that's another thing.
Paul, they're putting the scare tactic in these people by taking off all their COVID things on the internet and whatever. They're trying to scare people. You know why, Paul?
Why?
They have to bring in the biggest diversion ever because this is going down. Pennsylvania, the attorney general says there will be no voting machines audited in certain counties. What do they got to hide, Paul?
I know, you're right. I agree. They should audit every election if they can do it. I think it's important,
Paul,
especially today, these days.
They got enough proof with Arizona alone or this has to go down.
Well, this would be very interesting. I'm looking forward to them coming to the resolution of the Maricopa County, Arizona vote.
Yep, this is, Paul, let me tell you something. When this happens, all hell will break loose.
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying every diversion they can. Oh, the COVID is coming. We don't care if you have a shot. You got to wear a mask. But come on. What is this? This is all a bunch of bullcrap, Paul.
Yeah. I mean, we were talking with, I don't know if you heard it earlier, with this guy from the Cato Institute, Chris Edwards, and competition businesses, the government's intrusion by, I mean, now they're trying to say, we're trying to make things more competitive, so we will get involved as a government to help make it more, that is the worst thing that you can do to make it more competitive. If you stay the hell out of things, that's when it gets more competitive, because with less regulation and less government, more people are willing to try a new product, right? I mean, to bring a new product to market.
Well, you know what you got in Washington, Paul? You got a bunch of attorneys that have never done anything in their life, let alone run a business and a country. It's never going to happen, Paul.
Yeah.
They got to go. We need normal people that have lived life to see what's going on, that are intelligent.
Yeah.
People have no clue.
May I ask you, now we've got a good governor here in Florida, but in Texas, there is an upcoming election with that actor that might, Matt McConaughey. Do you know who he is by any chance? Anyway, he's thinking of running for governor. And then out in California, we got a host of people that want to run for governor as that recall is going right now. With Governor Newsom, and among the people is Caitlyn Jenner that's running. Now, she's running as a Republican. So here's my question. If you were out in California, would you vote for Caitlyn Jenner, possibly?
First of all, Paul, Larry Elder is the one they need to get in there.
Yeah, Larry Elder would
Larry
be interesting.
Larry Elder is running, and let me tell you, you're not going to find a more intelligent man to be the governor of Florida.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that Larry Elder.
That's right. I listen to him every day.
Is he thinking about running?
You know, he already submitted. He is running.
He is running. Okay. So we got a lot of people running in California.
But Caitlyn Jenner, give me a break.
Well,
That's all we need.
What?
Whatever, Kamala Harris, give me a freaking break. Enough of this.
I want to see her throw the javelin again. That's actually why I would like
it. It's amazing, Paul. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. You know, our governor here, do you notice they're going to start the schools with no masks on the kids?
That's good.
I'm willing to see, and I'm waiting to see, because either Florida, we're doing so good, and I'm going to see California is bringing all these mandates in. Now, either we're going to have a big bomb drop in Florida and everything is going to happen, or we're going to go peacefully along. It's going to be one of the two.
You're right, you are.
And these other states, as far as I can see, you know, they 1,000 people died. How many millions of people are there in California?
There's about 30 million, isn't there?
Oh, 1,000 people die. How many people die every day?
Quite a few.
All right. But, you know, Paul, it's scare tactic. It's all scare tactic. The people fall for it. I still see people driving in their car with their masks on.
I've seen it, too.
What is wrong with people?
It's a little bit nutty.
Grip. And the wokeness going on in the military. They need to give that General Wiley a burial at sea. Believe me.
He's got to die first, doesn't he?
The last thing we need is an army full of pansies.
Yeah, I don't like it. This woke stuff is driving me nuts. By the way, I want to mention one other thing about California, because you made me think about it. California lawmakers yesterday approved they're the first state to approve a guaranteed income plan. A guaranteed income plan. They're going to send out, and here's the scary thing, nobody on either side of the aisle voted against it. 36-0 in the Senate, 64-0 in the Assembly for this idea of sending out cash money to certain groups of people from the state government. Now, I'm glad I'm not living in California, because they're spending other people's money like it's going out of style.
Well, Paul, look at yesterday. They should have been celebrating here. All the mothers with all these babies, what are they getting now? They got their first checks this week.
Yes, that's another thing.
$50 and up to $300.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't
it? Each kid a month, they're going to be popping babies out like they're going out of style. Birth control stock is going to go way down.
I think it's very depressing. It really is depressing.
It's disgusting. It's not depressing. It's disgusting.
Yeah.
Well, this is why you say, you sit there and tell me, well, you know, if they prove Biden was a fraud and the voting was wrong, nothing's going to happen. I think you're totally wrong. Let me tell you something. If they prove that this election was fraud, Antifa, Black Lives Matter, and everybody are to get out of town just like Castro did in Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's going to be 80 million people really PO'd, buddy.
Well, that'll be something to see. I will grant you that, my friend. I really will. It is always a pleasure to talk with you. Always. I really mean that, Andrew. And we
have a great weekend, my friend, and pray to God that more lightning bolts hit the right places, buddy.
Yeah, I'll be gone Monday and Tuesday, so we will next talk a week from today, my friend.
And I agree with Andrew that I believe there is some sort of conspiracy with death in America. I mean, ever open a paper and go to the obituaries? Notice how people die in alphabetical order?
You're right.
Isn't that something? And you know, the virus knows if you're 21 and under now.
I figure once I get past the D's, I'm all right.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yes, you would be. All right.
Have a good weekend.
You too. Thanks, Andrew. There he goes, the Master Barber. All right, we're going to take our break. When we come back, Davidson College in North Carolina, Wilbur the Duck has something to say about Davidson College in our Campus Quackery edition.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Join Joe Pippin for Ask an Attorney Radio Show, Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. Ask an Attorney is Florida's longest-running radio show for over 35 years now. So if you've got a question for an attorney, call Joe Pippin during his live radio show. Ask a question. Get an answer. Free of charge, of course. Saturday mornings, live from 8 to 9 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Or to contact Joe Pippin directly, call 727-586-3306.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Come on, baby, don't you wanna go? Hey, we are back for the final segment of Freedom Works. And Davidson College. I always kind of like Davidson College, you know. They are in North Carolina, but I think they've fallen off the meat wagon here. Starting this fall, Davidson College will be offering a course called Abolish the Police, Race and Policing in the U.S. Now, this... Yeah, indeed. Thank you, Wilbur. The Critical Black Studies course aims to take a philosophical look at the relationship between blackness and policing in the U.S., That's according to the course description. It will enlist black political and feminist theories and social and political philosophies to, quote, critically examine and think through issues of race, criminalization, incarceration, police militarization, predictive policing, surveillance, and domestic security. It doesn't sound to me like it's going to be very pro-police. That's what I'm thinking. Let's see. The course description cites, quote, numerous experts. Yeah, the experts. I'd like to know who they are. Who have shown that the U.S. has the highest rate of police violence and incarceration, as well as scholars, they call it. Scholars who have shown that black, brown, and indigenous people are disproportionate police targets. Here's the deal. Here's the big secret. More crimes are committed by black people, percentage-wise, than white people. They just, because they are a lower economic status, there's more crime that goes on in those neighborhoods. There is more crime per capita in a black community. So when they say that the police are unfairly targeting certain groups of people. No, they're not. They're targeting crime. It's not because of the color of your skin. It's never been that. It's never been that. But with a lower economic neighborhood, you're going to have more crime. That's just the way it is. There's more drugs. There's more shootings. There's more robberies in those low-income neighborhoods. That's just the way life is. So when you say that the police are targeting, that's a lie. I have never, ever thought or heard that a police sergeant says, okay, guys, this morning, I want you to go out there and target black people. No, they don't. No, they don't. It's just crazy. And so we're continuing this myth in this country, this myth that police are unfairly going after black people. They're going after people that commit crime. Even George Floyd was a thief and a drug abuser. He had drugs in his system at the time. No, that's not an excuse for putting your knee on him and suffocating him. Absolutely not. But please, they stopped him for a reason. It's not like they're stopping people because of the color of their skin. And that drives me crazy. All right, anyway, before we get to our top 10, Ed, I want to check with you. Is the Stanley Cup still in one piece, or is it floating down the Hillsborough River? Last I heard, somehow the Stanley Cup got dented. What? I think that's a mortal sin, what? And probably a firing squad is, you know, the thing that should...
It was a little bit more than a dent. The bowl part, the one side was caved in.
What happened?
Nobody's talking.
Did somebody sit on it?
I don't know. It had to be more than that. You got to remember, even Gronk one year with the Patriots used it as a baseball bat, the Lombardi Trophy, and dented that.
He did?
Yeah.
Why did he do that? That was dumb.
But anyway, it's been fixed. It flew back to Edmonton and got fixed, and now it's back again, all shiny and new.
Oh, good.
So it's all back.
First of all, I would never have lent the real one out to a bunch of people that were going to get in a
boat.
Yeah,
I always thought there was some sort of
that scared me right away.
Body double, you know?
Remember what we did with the Super Bowl thing, the trophy?
Didn't we
almost drop that into the river?
No, they didn't almost drop it. I mean, it was perfect pass from Brady. Okay.
Is that what we're going to do now with all these trophies? We're going to take them out on ships and throw them back and forth?
You know, they got to top it, you know? I mean, what do you do if... What do you do in Minnesota if the Vikings win the Super Bowl? They go out on snow skis or whatever and throw it from...
Go on a mountain?
From jet ski to jet ski. Well, not jet ski, but...
I know what you mean.
Snow... What do you call it?
Yeah, you're talking
snow
about
machine.
Snowmobiles.
Yeah.
I think that would be fun, actually.
Well,
you know what I mean?
You got to up the game.
Yeah. I guess you do. So, we're back on the second half of the baseball season. Technically, mm-hmm. when you have the All-Star game, it's considered the halfway point, although I think we're a little better than halfway. What about our beloved Rays? Do you think they'll make the playoffs?
This is going to be interesting because, you know, usually they would wait to call up some reserves out of the AAA, and they've already called up three now. And
pitchers?
They've called up... hitters.
Hitters.
You know. The team itself has been a bit of a hitting slump. If it comes out of it, pitchers have been hurt. You know, it's all about keeping them healthy.
Yeah.
And they'd like to get Glasnow back.
Well, they're still in the running for the playoffs, though.
Well, sure, they're in second place. And if the playoff stage started today, which they don't, they would be number one in the wild card. Because Boston has the East right now, but they're only two games back.
Okay.
So, I mean, I think we're getting a little spoiled. You know, we're in second place and we're complaining.
I know. We fully expect to be in the World Series again, right? Okay. All right, Ed, it's time for our top 10. You remember Tuesday when we last did this, we did the top 10 rudest drivers. You remember?
Florida was number three.
Yeah.
You remember remember who was number one.
Was it Mississippi? It's always Mississippi.
No. I can't remember. It'll come to me.
Yeah, I don't remember either. I must say, I don't remember. I didn't bring it with me. Okay, anyway, this is Bankrate.com doing this, both nicest and rudest. And they use several studies, and they compiled the different studies about rude driving. But these are the nicest drivers, all right? The nicest drivers. Let's see here. All right, here we go. Number 10. Kansas. Mm. Kansas has the nicest, the 10th highest. Now, I imagine being out in the Midwest and everything's rather easy going. So we always look at Kansas with nice people. I would think of Kansas as nice. All right, number 9. Montana. Wide open country in Montana. I guess you just don't have too many traffic jams, do you think? And therefore they're nice.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Number 8. Utah. Well, they're religious.
Yeah. Maybe it has to be.
Fear of God. All right. Number 7. New Hampshire. Now, I found that one interesting, New Hampshire. New Hampshire is kind of up in the northeast there. It can be a busy area, mm-hmm. not far from Boston. I don't know about New Hampshire. That's interesting. Maybe the libertarian people there are nice. Number 6, North Carolina. Well, you know, it's that southern genteel niceness. Maybe that's what it is there. Number 5, Delaware.
Mm.
Joe Biden territory. It's such a little state. I mean, I never think much about Delaware, but I guess when you're inside Delaware, people are rather nice. Number 5, 4. Minnesota. Another Midwestern state. Minnesota, Midwestern values, do you think? Too cold to... Maybe it's too cold to roll your window down and scream at somebody,
right.
Now that I think about it.
And then the windows fog up, you can't use sign language.
At least you can't see it. Number 3. I think this falls in line with the Minnesota philosophy. Maine, you know, that's another cold weather climate.
Jeez.
And not real busy up there. They got a lot of water.
By the way, California had the worst drivers.
That's right. Yeah. Very good. Why didn't we remember that? Mm. Of course it's California.
We're talking about the interstates.
That's correct. You're right. Now we're doing the nicest drivers. Number 2. Nebraska. That's another wide open country. All you do is go by cornfields. Mm. I don't know why you would be rude to corn.
The only traffic you might have is a traffic light out there.
In the middle of the town? Hey. That's about it. Then you go about 75 miles. Yeah. You know what the major city in the biggest city in Nebraska is?
No.
I think it's Omaha.
Oh, yeah.
And that's not even a big city, in my opinion.
Do they have any interstates out there?
Yes.
That's always made me wonder.
Yes,
why,
of course they do.
Why does Hawaii have interstates?
That I don't understand whatsoever. They don't need one, do they?
No.
They really don't.
No.
All right, Ed, what do you think is... I think this is really out of left field, by the way, but what do you think is the state with the nicest?
Oh, wait a minute. Here we go. If it's out of left field... I can't say New York, so...
It's not far from New York.
New Jersey?
It's north.
Vermont.
Bingo! Vermont!
Yeah, all that maple syrup up there.
They are the nicest drivers.
Yeah, a sugar high. Yeah.
Are they on a sugar high? Is that what's doing it? Well, anyway, congrats to Vermont, the nicest drivers. All right, thank you so much. We will be taking a little break. We will be back next Friday, a week from today. In the meantime, enjoy the week and remember, freedom works.